Standing in a dark corridor, not something I normally do, but at the moment it's the only quiet place we can find in the hustle and bustle of Thinking Digital 2011. This morning I was doing some interviews and missed Matthew Postgate from the BBC. Tell me what you talked about.
So this morning I spoke about how the concept of broadcasting might be reinterpreted in the information age and what that means for the BBC.
So how far ahead are you looking right now?
I'm very fortunate in the BBC. I've got a couple of roles, one of which is to work with the BBC's R&D department. Within R&D, we would say that sort of probably 40% of our work is what we'd call development, and that's when we're working very closely with tactical teams within the business, so on things like UView and Switchover, which is quite near term. But we're also fortunate enough to be able to sort of take a 3 to 5 year and then 5 year and beyond kind of perspective. So we have projects in both of those areas as well. We work more closely with academic institutions when it gets much beyond that, and are trying to kind of bring research forward from 10-year stuff that they've been working on into sort of practical industrial applications. So it's still quite a range.
Does what the BBC provide to the consumer in the living room, does that depend a lot on the hardware that we have in our homes?
Certainly it has traditionally. I think you'd say that the broadcast industry, like many others, is moving into software quite rapidly. But fundamentally, we're always going to be in a space where someone somewhere is selling something to someone. Mm. And hardware is always going to be important. We try and retain both hardware and software engineering skills inside the department. But we are certainly, you see something like UView, for example, that is suddenly a set-top box which has got a software life to it. It's going to have upgrades, there'll be different versions of the UI released, etc., etc. It's going to have a life in a way that perhaps some of our consumer platforms in the past, like Freeview, don't quite have the same kind of relationship. They're much more self-contained when you buy them, and they don't have that ongoing kind of software or service type relationship. It's one of the really big shifts in the industry, a really interesting kind of trend or dimension that we're trying to kind of assimilate at the moment. I think it'd be very unwise to suggest anything other than a future where software is increasingly important.
For me, I mean, for the last, 8 years maybe, I've just can't get my head around the fact we don't have a large screen computer sat in the corner of the room, although most of my friends now do. They view the TV through their computer and they're flicking between YouTube, whatever channel they want to. Their social networks sit in the corner whilst they're viewing. So instead of having the laptop on the lap and joining in the public conversation whilst they're watching Doctor Who or whatever, it's happening on the screen. I saw a mock-up of where you could actually show your friends an A to B snippet clip, because you can see they're watching another channel, and you throw it over to them, and they can see that they're missing, and then they come and check out your channel. Why is it taking so long for this kind of stuff to be implemented?
I think there's a high degree of fragmentation, both, and that's across lots of different aspects of the overall picture. So fragmentation in devices, fragmentation in the screens that are connected to the devices, fragmentation in the delivery networks, whether it's satellite, terrestrial, over the internet. And I'm sure you know from an engineering point of view that that's pretty complicated to deal with, especially if you're in the BBC space, where primarily we're trying to offer audiences common experiences, or at least kind of reach large audiences. But equally, there's fragmentation in the rate at which different sort of parts of the UK population are adopting these technologies. So, it's not true to say that all people are interested in the new stuff. Some are very satisfied with the current services. So I think that, trying to manage that fragmentation is one of the things that BBC R&D's always tried to do. So through our kind of approach with open standards and through our approach of releasing IPR into industry, we're trying to kind of create a common platform, a common basis that people can offer these services. And we're seeing that kind of traditional approach meet the open standards approach of the web, and trying to drive that stuff through. But we've been working with browser manufacturers on HTML5, where some of this stuff might be enabled. There's some interesting stuff going on in the working groups for that. There is a sort of a time frame issue. It does take a while. I think that's one of the really interesting things about mobile and what we're trying to do with dual screens. It's almost an opportunity to provide that kind of common layer around some of the more fragmented sort of main screen experiences and bring it together that way. But, you know, it's a process, not a destination, and we'll be managing fragmentation for many years to come.
Mm. Which came up a lot in the conference I was at last week, BBC SMS, where they were looking at the future of journalism, and the common thought was, it's just so big now that it's like trying to stop an oil tanker to try and get any change involved. And maybe TV is not just the fragmentation, but the process is so big now. To revolutionise it will take some time. My main interaction with the BBC, other than standing in dark corridors like we are now, is the radio. I'm listening to way, way more radio because of the ability to do other stuff whilst I'm doing that. And there's an increase in radio listeners. Mm. What's that done to the viewership? Because you have all the stats, I'm sure, at your disposal. What's it doing for TV viewership?
I'm not sure that an increase in radio listening is directly decreasing television viewing. I'm sure it'd be quite difficult to put together the data to see that effect, actually, because the measurement systems are quite separate. But it'd be an interesting question to answer, though intuitively I don't think there's necessarily a direct relationship. I think radio is very interesting. I've always really believed in it since I joined the BBC. I think it's almost an editorial medium that finds itself, through historical accident, almost uniquely suited to the digital age and to the information age. You know, it's a very real-time medium. It's suited to distribution on digital devices. It's quite fluid. The production costs are manageable. And I think, you know, as an editorial concept, it's got a really great future, though it's got some real issues with its technology kind of basis at the moment, which we're kind of working through. I think really what you might be describing is some stuff that was hinted at by some Ofcom research, and they looked at it. And you know, Ofcom did some research into multitasking during media use, and they did it by different age groups. And there was one age group, and I'm trying to remember it, but obviously one of the younger ones, where people were cramming in something like 16 hours of media consumption into 9 hours of actual time. So you're seeing a lot of multitasking, a lot of dual screen activity, or, you know, reading at the same time as watching, or listening at the same time as watching. And that maybe is a good sign. Maybe we are becoming more sophisticated media consumers. Maybe we're becoming more information centric. Mm. Maybe it's the dawning of the information age.
I'm still waiting for my clone so that I can actually focus on two things equally as well, rather than kind of half as much on a lot.
I won't admit to having a team working on the clone project. But
speaking of a team, okay, last question. Say, for example, I had a massive sack of cash which tripled your R&D budget. What would you do tomorrow to give the viewers of BBC a taste of the future?
It's a very good question, and it's probably a question I should prepare an answer for, just in case anyone does come and offer to triple my budget. Look, I think at the moment we do two things. We've certainly got an emphasis on the kind of mobile story and trying to understand what that relationship is, not in a sort of binary, it will replace X or X will replace Y, but how do you kind of make all this stuff work together? That would be critical, and that's what I think could be the most direct impact for audiences. But I would also take half the money and address the kind of maybe the kind of cultural question you alluded to earlier, where actually we need to do some significant re-engineering within what it is to be a broadcast organisation. You know, how do you connect up, you know, journalists all around the world? How do you change the process of TV production to become far more digital, to generate metadata right at the beginning of the chain? And that would be that kind of heavy lifting stuff that would go on behind the scenes that I know audiences would benefit from in 5-10 years time, because we still have to do some of that foundational work. So I'd take half the money to make sure people felt they got something for it, and I'd spend half the money making sure they got the stuff that is really going to change the way a broadcaster interacts with its audiences in the future.
That's a pretty good answer for off the cuff. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.